Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you reveal the glorious truths of your kingdom to those who come with childlike trust to you. We ask that you would guard us from being wise and learned in our own eyes, and please give us hearts and minds that are teachable. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. "And when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'My son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, 'Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And he rose immediately, picked up his bed, and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'"
This is the first big surprise that comes to us in Mark's Gospel. We've only gone one chapter into the book, and we come up against something which is almost jarring. Prior to this, Jesus has announced the kingdom of God is at hand, and there's no doubt, as the gospel unfolds, that he is the king of that kingdom. And prior to this, he's done a whole series of miracles, which Mark just puts them all together as if they all happened in the same day. First, there's the exorcism of the demon-possessed man in the synagogue at Capernaum. Then they go to Simon Peter's place for lunch, and his mother-in-law is sick with a fever, and Jesus heals her with a word. At the end of the day, being a Sabbath day, all the sick and the infirm from the village were brought to him, and he healed them all. As each year goes by now and my age gets larger, so does the amount of specialists I acquire. I have one for my feet, I have one for my eyes, I have one for my ears, I have one for my bloodstream, and on and on and on they go. And a great deal of retirement, I assure you, is delay your retirement as long as you can. It's got very little going for it, trust me. A great deal of my time is spent from going from waiting room to waiting room to waiting room. But it didn't matter what you had with the Lord Jesus, with a word, he healed them all. A leprous man rushes to him and says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Touching the man, he said, "If, be under no doubt at all, be clean." And the man was. And now we come to the man who is paralyzed. We don't know if he's paraplegic or quadriplegic. We don't know if this was because of an accident or if he had a birth defect. But in a land where there were no social services at all, this man has a massive problem. There is nobody to support him except the family, and he's now adult. He ought to be providing for them. He is reduced to begging. I don't know if you've ever had to beg. You probably haven't in all your life. It's rock bottom, I reckon, don't you? Begging? He's got four good friends, really good friends. They have got unshakable confidence of the fact if they can get him to Jesus, Jesus will heal him. We know that because it says, when Jesus saw their trust, when Jesus saw their faith, they didn't doubt for a moment if they could get him to Jesus. The trouble was they couldn't get him to Jesus. That was the problem. And I think they'd tried once before to get him to Jesus. We're told in chapter 1, Peter said to the Lord Jesus, everybody is seeking you. He'd got up very early in the morning to pray while it was still dark. Get a bit of peace and quiet. You can generally do that early in the morning before dawn. Everybody is seeking for you. Why? He'd only done healing. That's what they were after. And Jesus walked away and he said, I've got to teach the good news of the kingdom to other cities. That's why I came. And I feel certain they were left behind on a previous occasion. You ever asked yourself the question, why didn't he just wait at the doorway? Jesus would have come out sooner or later. They'd waited before and missed out. Nothing now is going to stop them. Up the back stairs, hole in the roof, lower the man through. As he is coming down, the thing you expect will happen if you've read this gospel is Jesus will say, be healed. But to our great surprise, he says, son, your sins are forgiven you. Can you see the blokes looking through the hole in the roof saying, legs, 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 not soul. Don't worry about the soul. We'll get that fixed later. You see, this is the first instance where Jesus hasn't immediately healed. And you're brought up with a shock. You say, what is going on here? Please note, don't let it slide by. There is something more important even than his paralysis, can you believe it? Jesus can heal him. By the end of the day, the end of the story, the bloke is walking home with his bed and his shoulders. It's a pretty good miracle. He's not limping out the door like I am from my specialists. He's striding out. It's a great miracle. People are goggle-eyed saying, we've never seen anything like this, and I don't blame them because I haven't. I reckon it's the understatement of the century, don't you? We never saw anything like this. No, indeed. Jesus can heal him, but he chooses not to yet. Please take note of that, will you? There is something more important than walking. Even if you're a quadriplegic, there is something more important. Why? Forgiveness is more important than earning your living. Forgiveness is more important than being normal. This bloke wouldn't have even contemplated marriage. There's something more important. You say nothing can be more important. It is because Jesus loves him that he goes right to the heart of his need. And his need is to be forgiven. I don't know any part of the Bible that makes this more clear than it is made here. It is abundantly clear from the point of view of the Lord Jesus that nothing matters more than that a person should be forgiven. Why is that? Well, if you've got no forgiveness, you're not right with God. If you've got no forgiveness, you've got no presence of God with you guiding you through life. You're on your own. In death, its terror ought to grip you because you're totally unprepared to meet your Maker. In judgment, your sins will be paid for by you. And you will have no part in the new creation after death. You see, such is the nature of our rebellious heart towards God, is that if we say, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone, in the end he says, I will leave you alone. And nothing could be worse, to spend eternity thinking of the lost opportunities that you had to turn back, or I, and be forgiven. Please see how important this is. If you've got a moment this week, read the whole gospel. It pulsates with the importance about forgiveness. If there's no forgiveness, there is no hope for the future. No wonder Jesus delays and deals with this matter first. 4 or 5 years ago, I bumped into an old friend of mine who I'd trained with in Teachers College. I graduated from Sydney Teachers College in 52. I know that most of you weren't even born then, but if you keep breathing, you'd be surprised how long you go on for. I bumped into him and we went and had a drink together and we did the good old days. Do you remember the day when? You remember the day when? You remember the day when? When most of us were adolescents. And out of the blue he said to me, do you remember Joy Bray? She'd been in our section at Teachers College. I said, I remember her well. He said, I'm sorry to tell you, Chapo, she's in North Shore Hospital and I think she's in the last stages of a cancer. Oh, I said, I'm horrified to hear that. I'll go and see her this afternoon. North Shore Hospital is very large and it was no small effort to find her. And when I got there, she was asleep. The ravages of chemotherapy were all over. She had a wig which had twisted grotesquely on the pillow. And I sat down and waited. She opened her eyes and she said, Chapo, how ever did you find me? I said, doesn't matter how I found you, Joy. I wish I'd found you under better circumstances. She said, not much fun, Chapo, is it? I said, no, that isn't the word I'd use for it at all. I said, what is your prognosis? Well, she said, my doctor said I'd be wise to set my affairs in order. And the chaplains asked me if I'm ready to meet God. I said, are your affairs in order, Joy? She said, thank you, Chapo, they are. I said, are you ready to meet God? She said, thank you again for asking, Chapo. I am. Think carefully with me. If you were me and you had the power to heal people by speaking, would you have asked her if her sins were forgiven and if she was ready to meet God? Not a hope in the world. I'd have healed her straight away. We'd have been down at the local before the afternoon was over and I'd have said, we'll worry about her sins later. You see, how is it that Jesus can control himself? I haven't got the power to do it. Thank God I haven't. I couldn't be trusted with that sort of power. He can be trusted with it because he loves and loves. And he says in his heart to the bloke, what is the good of you walking if you'll go to hell? And he says, my son, your sins are forgiven you. See the priority there? He can do it, but he delays to do it till something better happens. And the friends peeping down through the roof who are full of faith can hardly believe their ears. Jesus has forgiven him. You may have had good friends who brought you to Christ. I had a friend who persevered against all odds and against my help till I finally came to Christ. What a good friend he was. I had other friends, whether they knew the gospel or not, I don't know, but they were as silent as the grave. And he himself had almost no knowledge at all. But he was light years in front of me because he'd been saved. His sins were forgiven. And he worked me over as only Australians know how. He had the subtlety of a train smash at 90 miles an hour and therefore was tailor-made for me. One of my greatest difficulties with people in this country is that I never understand criticism. It's always so sophisticated and shielded. And I wake up about a month's time and say, I wonder if they were cross with me. But doesn't matter then, does it? The event's all past. You see, nothing matters more than it should bring your friends to Christ. And nothing matters more than that they should have their sins forgiven. It really is important. There's a bit of a theological argy-bargy goes on the heads of people. I always wish that theological argy-bargies would stay in their head, but they often get vocalised. But this lot didn't get a chance to vocalise theirs. They simply thought it in their head and they said, who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. The next bit's a wee bit spooky, I think. Jesus, perceiving what they were thinking in their minds, how'd you like to be in the presence of somebody who always knew what you were thinking, and especially what you were thinking about them? Jesus, knowing in his spirit what they were thinking in their minds, said, which is easier? To say to the paralysed man, rise up and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven. Well, of course it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because nobody knows if you can do it. The moment you say to the bloke in the wheelchair, stand up and walk, everybody knows if you can pull that one off. Is it easier to say, arise and walk, or your sins are forgiven? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Stand up. Roll up your mat. Go home. We never saw anything like this. It is breathtaking. It is breathtaking. By the time this gospel concludes, we see the Lord Jesus on the cross earning forgiveness for all those to whom he will give it as a gift. He says, my blood is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. He said, I haven't come to be served but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. The moment you perceive that, you realise the importance that people should have their sins forgiven. That God did not spare his only Son, but offered him up freely so that we could be forgiven, shows the importance of forgiveness in the mind of God. Why ever would he let his Son die if being decent was good enough? If ever the idea that being decent is not good enough is clearly shown in the death of the Lord Jesus. I remember the first time I heard about the fact that Jesus had died on the cross for me. I normally didn't listen to sermons. I didn't like them much. They seemed to me interminable. 20 minutes feels like forever if you're not listening, doesn't it? And sometimes even when you are listening, it feels like forever. I used to play mathematical games. How many people in the front row? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How many rows? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There ought to be 100 people in this block. Count it and see. And then you could work out your order of accuracy for the measurement for the method you'd taken. You could do that in a raw fraction or in a percentage. It's essential to sit in the back seat if you're going to do that. It's a dead giveaway if you crane around in the middle and count. all sorts of mathematical games. I was bored out of my brain at church. I always assumed that they were going to tell you to be good, and I didn't want to be good. I thought when I grew old I'd be ever so terribly good to make up for lost time. That was an error, because now I am old. I didn't turn into another person. It just takes you longer to do everything. How I thought I'd be able to catch up for lost time is beyond me. I came up for air one day at church, and the guy preaching said, "Do you know that Jesus Christ died for you?" And the shock was so great I almost answered him. I did not know that. Can you believe that? At church all my life, I didn't know what was basic and fundamental. "Did you know that Jesus Christ died for you?" He said it again. You know, I realised then he hadn't left the negative out. The question is, why? He said, "Do you know why?" I could not conceive of a reason why Jesus should die for me. He said, "When Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment which your sins deserve. Did you know that?" I did not know it. On the way home from church, I remember saying to myself, "You didn't have a leg to stand on, sport. It's not about being decent at all. It's about being forgiven." And I remember saying to myself before I fell asleep in bed, I evangelised myself. I said, "If you died tonight and plunged into the presence of God, and he said to you, 'What are you doing here, unforgiven?' what do you think you're to say?" And even I could see the stupidity of saying, "I've lived a fairly decent life." Would he not rightly say to me, "Why ever then do you think I let my son die for you? Why do you think I did that? You can make it by some other way." Well, I've done. Let me conclude with 2 points. One, if you are unforgiven, it is your biggest problem. If you today, as you listen to me, say, "I am unforgiven, I have not been forgiven," you do not have a greater problem than it. And see that it gets attended to before it's too late. I think you can get used to saying no so often that in the end you don't really have to think about it. You just say, "That's all he's on about, is it?" Secondly, if you've got friends who are unforgiven, please see it as their greatest need and do whatever you can to bring them to Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the starkness of this story, that we're not left in any doubt that the Lord Jesus thinks that being forgiven is of top priority. Please help us to agree with you in that, both for ourselves and for other people. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.